Hey everyone, this is Fraser with The Agent Marketer. I want to welcome you to episode 20 of The Agent Marketer podcast brought to you by Wise Agent. I'm actually really excited about this episode just because it was a live interview that I did a little over a year ago with Seth Price. And if you don't know who Seth Price is, he's a VP over at Playster. Really good guy. He wrote, I had him come and speak at one of our sales conferences, one of our highest rated speakers. He wrote a book called Road to Recognition, which we'll get into during the interview. And I've been wanting to do this one for a while. One thing I will let you know, it was a live interview. So you may hear, you will hear me talking about some people that had asked some questions because we had people joining us live. And then I cut at the end, which was just basically Q&A, which, obviously is a little rough for a podcast. We'll get into kind of a summary at the end. But just a few things I want to talk about before we get into talking with Seth Price. One is, my good friend Ginger Bell, who's actually a speaker at Marketing Interrupt, which is starting next week on Monday. And she's a best-selling author, and she just launched her product, which is called The Mortgage List. And I'm happy to be one of her core contributors to The Mortgage List and one of her launch partners. Very excited about that. So she just launched that. So you can check that out at mortgagelist.com. It's basically an online, it's like an Angie's List for mortgage, but it's bigger than that. It's also about creating a central community for the mortgage industry. So check it out at mortgagelist.com. Second, I want to get into a partnership that I'm doing now with my friend Neil Mathwig, and he's got Neil Mathwig Coaching. If you don't know Neil, he's got a podcast called The Onion Juice. He's a real estate agent. He's a coach. He's running a boot camp right now that could absolutely blow up your business. It's a 6-week boot camp. You can learn more at neilmathwigcoaching.com. And if you happen to be a member of the Agent Marketer community, you get a discount on the coaching if it's something you want to do. It's great business coaching. I've known Neil for a long time, good friend of mine, and you cannot go wrong with him. And lastly, I want to talk about Marketing Interrupt. That's our 4-day virtual conference that's coming up from the 17th through the 20th next week. And we got 20 sessions. I already mentioned Ginger. She's one of the speakers. We have best-selling authors. We have Amazon bestsellers. We have award-winning marketers, award-winning authors, keynote speakers, people that spoke at NAR, CAR, Housing Wire, Inman Connect, Agent 2021, just everywhere. And all of it it only costs for 20 sessions live, and then, access to the recorded replays and slide decks. It's only $50, and it's a $50 donation. This isn't about making money. It's about raising money for two great organizations, No Kid Hungry and Operation Underground Railroad. It's something that I, two things I've been associated with for a while and working with. And so I'm just really happy to do this and having all these speakers donate their time to do that. So you can check that out at marketinginterrupt.com. Now let's get into the meat. That's Mr. Seth Price. And this is about personal branding. And even though this was over a year ago, it still holds true. In fact, because personal branding is something I get a question on all the time. So, and honestly, if you guys haven't read the book, The Road to Recognition, I highly recommend it. Seth talks a little bit about it, gets into it, working with agents, talking a little bit about loan officers. It's a great interview, and I hope you enjoy it. I know it was one of my best interviews in regards to the content that he brings with personal branding. And guys, look, you've heard me talk about it before. That is, if you're thinking about a way to grow your business, to create that Amazon experience, personal branding is it. You want to be a brand, not a commodity. So check out this interview with Seth Price, and I hope you enjoy it.
Awesome. So my name is Seth Price. I am, among other things, someone who is, I'd say, really passionate about helping the folks that I know sort of get their ideas out. Because one of the challenges that we all have is that attention is at an all-time low. So think about the dinner table that you sit at night, or think about going out to a restaurant, and translate that distraction that everybody has with, this device or the multiple devices, translate that to your customers. and try to think about what does it take to get their attention. And one of the things that I realized over the course of my career is that there's a thread through which we all operate and people relate to us, which you can coin as a personal brand. I'd say about 20 years ago, there's this guy named Tom Peters that was the first person to use this term, and he called it the brand of me. And basically the idea is, if someone's going to open an email, who are they more likely to open that email from? Someone that they know and have a relationship with, or some nameless brand or call to action that they get through the email? And that's what personal branding is, and that's what I focus on. At work, I'm the VP of Industry Relationships at Playster. All that means is we're a platform for real estate agents to grow their business, and I help sort of, you know, the larger relationships that we have, but also communicate with the industry at large.
Great, great. So you wrote a book, and yes. I was lucky enough to get to be in the launch group for that, and it's so awesome. What's great about it, that's just cool in general, but what's really cool is having you guys, it's, you know, you follow authors and you read their books and stuff, but it's one thing is getting that background of it and then having you guys talk and actually go a little bit more in depth, because, you know, you get the book and you read it and it's great content, but it's great having you guys actually kind of go a little bit more in depth and then share the podcast and the interviews that you're doing and then even going live in the group and talking about it. So, you know, one thing that I thought obviously would be great is talk a little bit about your book. But especially because I'm such a believer in personal brand and how that really is such a game changer now than the way it used to be, especially in our digital world. Yeah. But, you know, maybe talk about your book and then maybe get into, you know, how it's structured and then, and get into some of the ABCs.
That sounds great. So the book came about because regardless of where someone is in their business, there's a consistency to the idea that your reputation sort of drives how people respond to you. And you see that in the day to day. Like if someone has met you, the likelihood, like even if you go to the Starbucks, the likelihood that they respond to you positively. So you see the barista, you know their name, maybe they know yours because they have to take it. But once that connection starts to happen, there's a breaking down of the barriers of communication with them. And there's a way to actually scale that so you can help grow a business. And I'll tell a story recently about Playster, which is Playster is about 5 years old. And when I joined, I was the number three hire there. And I joined when we didn't have a product. And one of the challenges when you're building a business, similar to whether you're in the title business or real estate or software, is before you have any customers, what do you have to sell? And what you have to sell is you and your trust and your reputation. So you ask lots of questions, you start to get to know your audience, and that is the kernel and the beginning of your personal brand. And as you start to do things and stay in touch with those people, they start to see you in a broader light. So you start creating content. Maybe you write a little, maybe you blog, maybe you do a live Facebook like this on a regular basis. Those are the touch points that allow you to stay in the line of sight of your customers and past clients in a way that you couldn't do when you're just like serving them at that moment of need. Because the thing, I think you and I have discussed this, is that moment of need is only one moment in a huge portion of their lives. Like for the most part, if you're an agent, your customers only need you when they're looking to sell or buy a home. The rest of their life, they're like, you know, they're doing what we do. Like, you know, they have kids, they have relationships, they're trying to stay in shape, you know, whatever they're dealing with. And how do you get permission to stay in contact with them during that process? So that was really the idea of writing this book. And I had collaborated with my co-author, who we weren't, you know, collaborators at the time, but I wanted to do some infographics for Playster, and we did a whole bunch of them. So we did a social media one, which did really well. We did one on LinkedIn and one on Facebook, and we did one on personal branding, which was the precursor. It was an A to Z guide, similar to the framework of the book, and it just crushed it online. So for about 18 months, it was the first, second, and third page of Google for branding guide, personal branding guide, how to personal brand. And, you know, those things only last for a period of time because that's, you know, just how search works. But I kept looking at that going, hey, I think we're on to something. This is something that translates to executives. Because if you think of a leader in an organization, it has to have a reputation, like for their troops to follow them. You have to trust that the leader's going to lead you. If you are a manager within an organization, you are managing up and you're managing down. And that's about how people perceive you and the things that you do. And if you're someone who's doing sales, like you're responsible for paying the rent by the activities that you do, the way in which people perceive you and the trust that you garner in your actions can turn you into a top producer as opposed to someone who's just living hand to mouth. And that is the distinction and really the kernel of this book, which is it's laid out in a choose your own adventure. So, you know, A to Z, A is for authenticity, B is for blogging, C is for content, D is for design, E is for email, F is for followers, G is for Google, and so on. Yep. And I think the real idea there is you can't do all of it at once.
Yep.
Even though we'd like to, like, wake up, pay someone, and all of a sudden, you know, be business famous, right? To all of a sudden have this amazing brand, you have to do these steps. Because reputation isn't built overnight. I mean, reputation can be trashed overnight.
Yes.
We've seen that recently. Like, look at United Airlines' recent actions. Mm-hmm. And if you think that if one person at the gate or one person on that plane had said, you know what, this is looking really bad, let's do something different. Let's give them $500 more. Let's see if we can get someone else. Let's do something different. Mm-hmm. It would have saved them hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Because someone would have been vested in the brand of that organization. So that's what the book is about. It's how to do it tactically. Mm-hmm. The foundation of the book. So you asked, hey, let's start with chapter one. Mm-hmm. The foundation is really around authenticity, which is, we live in a day and age, like if you think about craft beers and food that's made, you know, locally and organic, is we have a desire as humans for things that we feel are real, right? Things that we feel that are honest. And if your brand is not from an authentic place, people are going to pick that up. They're just going to know, like you get this sixth sense, like the hair on the back of your neck goes up when you feel like people are phony. And so the idea of thinking about, well, the intersection of your business desire, so you've got this one circle, like you want to sell something, and then the intersection of your passion and your true self, they need to overlap in a way that you are comfortable being who you are. Because one of the challenges in life is regardless of your industry is not unique, but you are. Like the things that you love, your passion for your family, how you grew up, your education, even though you may have gone to the same school, you probably studied different things than other people in your school. Like that uniqueness is what allows us to connect as human beings and remember the people that we meet. So that's the authenticity piece. And there are some exercises to figure out like what's interesting to you. So, you know, basic exercises are, if you have a skill, what is that skill to you? What do you think you're exceptionally good at that makes you stand out? And as you start to hone in on those things, you start to be able to articulate them in a way that has other people discover that value that you have and start to talk about it third hand. A simple way to figure this out is if you're in an organization, literally individually sit down and ask 5 or 10 people that are close to you, ask them, you know, hey, we've worked together for a while. What do you think my best traits are in this business? What do you think I'm exceptionally skilled at? And you will be surprised that people will mention things that you don't think about. Like it could be that you're exceptionally good at finding an outcome when there's no, you know, like when there's loggerheads and people aren't making decisions together. Or maybe you're exceptionally good at planning and figuring out how to educate people step by step through a process. Or maybe you're exceptionally good at research. Or maybe you're exceptionally good at articulating you know, a goal and a future for folks. Those are all, I'd say, talents that individuals have, and we don't all have them. Like, if I think about myself, like, I'm organized, but there are project planners and product managers in our company that are much more organized than I am, and I go to them because that's their skill set.
Yeah.
Right? And so, one, understanding what that is, and then the flip side of that is you start to learn how other people are perceiving you. You start to pay attention. Like, if you ask that question to 5 or 10 people and you don't get an answer, it means that you're probably not articulating your best self publicly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it also means that you may have to do a better job honing your craft. Like, maybe you haven't spent enough time doing the activity, developing your subject matter expertise, so you're really good at something. Because we see that a lot. We see new agents or new loan officers come in and they want to be excellent right out of the gate.
Yep.
Well, they may be charming and they may be smart and they may work hard, but there's a whole bunch of domain expertise that they have to learn by doing that they get later on. So that's sort of like the foundation, which is authenticity. Mm-hmm. Then it's about figuring out, okay, you have an audience that you're trying to reach. Who are they and where do they exist? Mm-hmm. So as an example, I'll use real estate agents as a perfect example. If you work in a geographic market, the tendency is to say, hey, everyone in my market, you know, I live in Providence, Rhode Island. Everyone in Providence, Rhode Island is a potential customer. Well, that's sort of true, mm-hmm. but the challenge with that is you probably don't resonate with everyone in Providence, Rhode Island, and not everyone in that geographic area is the ideal customer for you. So what you might do is break it down to some things. Like, I really like to run. I really like CrossFit. So let's just use those two because I have a whole bunch of other ones. My natural niche is I know everybody in the CrossFit community. I know every CrossFit box in Providence, Rhode Island, and even the surrounding communities, and most of them know me because I have visited more than once. So a natural overlap is, hey, I've got this group of folks that are physically active, that are of a certain age. Most of them are all employed, so they're not kids, and they're not older folks. They're probably a pretty likely target audience for me to focus on. And if that's where I'm getting my business, I figured out, hey, what's the core community or what's the tribe in which I can have an opportunity to talk to when it's not all about business? And once you figure that out, then you figure out I call it a recurring brand building activity, but what's the activity that you can do that puts the value of what you have to offer in front of them when they're not looking to buy or sell? And all that means is I can't rely on that I'm going to see them at the CrossFit gym because I'm not going to see them enough. Yeah. What I start to think about is I generally say content. What are the pieces of content that you can create that you can regularly put in their path to create value for them? And so that can be, you know, blogging is a perfect example. It's pretty inexpensive to do. Mm-hmm. If you have some domain expertise, so let's use the CrossFit example as a good one. Mm-hmm. If I'm not a trainer, but if I were a trainer, I might write about, you know, my favorite CrossFit gyms, the different trainings that I do, my most successful, the races that I do. And oh, by the way, I happen to be a realtor. Like, that's just a perfect overlap. So a good example of someone who actually lives that is a friend of mine named Dale Chumley. I'm not sure if you know him. He's out of Tacoma, Washington. I believe it's Tacoma, Washington. And what Dale does is he's a CrossFit nut. Mm-hmm. He gets, well, besides getting most of his business from referrals, he gets most of his new business from CrossFit boxes because he's really tight in that community. He does all of the competitions.
Yep.
They know over time that he's a realtor. And once one of them does business with him, there's just this natural fit. Like, he's one of them.
Yep.
And he also has this expertise about the community and about real estate that none of them have. So who are they going to refer but this person? So that's a That's a simplified example of how this can work in the wild. Yeah. There are lots of really great examples out there. I have a dear friend. I don't know if you know Marguerite Gregaire. Mm-hmm. Have you ever met her? So Marguerite Gregaire and Ann Jones, they are separately agents at Windermere they're in Seattle or outside of Seattle. And one of the things that they figured out, she started out as the skydiving agent. You might think that's crazy, but that's her thing. She's super passionate about skydiving. Together, they've made over 350 videos about real estate, about living in the area. Marguerite has a podcast called Move to Tacoma, which she interviews sort of the business leaders and artistic leaders in her community. And she is known in that area as someone who's a connector.
Yep.
And so all of her business comes from this content that she creates on a regular basis that allows her to touch people when they don't need to buy or sell real estate and allows her to showcase all of the aspects of her value that isn't just about, hey, I'm your realtor, because that's not enough, right? We don't meet people and right away go, hey, I'm a realtor. Do you need to buy or sell a house? We want to know about them. We want to talk about their family. We want to talk about their lives, their desires, their dreams. That's when you build a relationship. And then that's when that can turn into business and referrals and repeat business down the road. So that's sort of the beginning framework. And then there are lots of pieces that you can add, that are covered throughout the book.
Yeah. And I'm glad you touched on it for new agents, because when I started reading the book, obviously also, hearing you speak in Tahoe and before, the thing that popped out to me is that not only is, I think you guys, I don't know if you planned it, but literally you picked probably the best time to launch a book like this, especially with all the people that I'm talking to. The more that we shift into the world that we're shifting into, especially for our industry, the only term that I could think of it is that this book is such a great blueprint. It's great for if you've been in the industry and you're looking and you haven't been doing any of this stuff and you just kind of been, doing it the way that you do it, but you're looking for new ways to change your business. This is great for that as well. But what I see it as is really such a blueprint for starting. If you're a new agent, whether it's real estate, whether it's a loan officer, the loan officers that I have in our coaching program, this book is such a blueprint for them.
Yeah.
Just because you mentioned it perfectly for the guy doing CrossFit, the skydiving agent, it's having a brand that's different, that isn't about real estate, right? It's not about punching people in the face with what you do. It's about adding value and talking about something that means something to them. Because you said it perfectly. They're going to need you when they're buying or selling, right?
Yes.
But then what do you do after that? And so if you are grabbing their attention by talking about CrossFit or skydiving or gardening, or if you're into bowling or whatever it is in that community, and you're the best at it about talking about it and articulating the value of living in that community and doing these certain things, like if you're in a community that has a ton of trails, ton of biking trails, then it's all about that. And then that has nothing to do with real estate. That has nothing to do with that, but it has to do with something that's of value to them. And so that's how you stay in touch. That's how your name comes up in referral. And again, I'm going to record everything that you're talking about, because all these sound bites is about that one moment. It really is. And Brian Solis talks about that being that moment of truth, right? It's that one moment of truth when they need you, and who are they going to think about? And because not everyone's thinking about buying or selling every single moment of the day. And so, that is just Bill joined us, and he says he loves the book. Bill, I don't know if you know Bill or not, but he loves the book. I love the book. That's the best term I could think about as a blueprint. Now, I'm sure you've gotten a lot of feedback from a lot of people about the book. Now, have other people talked about that as far as it being such a great starting off when you're getting in the industry, and how this book is valuable to that point at least?
So we're talking about real estate, but the same question comes about when talking about CEOs. So I just had a talk with a whole bunch of technology CEOs, and one of the things that's the same challenge that you have they have as well, which is they're building a product, they're raising money, they're trying to do hiring, and no one knows about their product. No one knows the name of their product. No one knows it intricately like they do. No one knows exactly what it solves. And so when they walk into a room, they can't go, hey, I've just developed this great app. You got to download it, because things don't work that way. You have to ease into the conversation. And so they're as responsible for creating a brand as you are as a new agent or you are as a seasoned agent. And so here's a perfect example. At the beginning of this, I said, hey, when Playster started, we didn't have a product for the first few months. So I'll frame up what I did. I called lots of agents, even though I was an agent before, and I was trying to figure out if what we were building, which is we are a marketing platform for real estate agents. So we have website, CRM, you know, email automation. We have Real Satisfied, which is a customer sentiment engine, Open Home Pro. We've got all these tools, but we didn't have them all then. And so I started talking to agents to find out what their pain points were. And then what I did was I started writing a whole bunch of articles to educate folks on how to solve some of those pain points. So to this day, we have a blog, which is called Playster.com/academy, which has over 1,000 articles about how to be a better marketer. So articles, infographics, videos on how to do these things. And what that allowed me to do was have conversations with people that were not about either buying a website or buying a CRM, but it was really about how I could help them, because the thing that you're selling is just a means to an end. Like someone has a dream. They want to have a place to raise their family. The house is just the piece to get there. And so you being a part of them achieving their dream is a much broader conversation that allows you to talk to folks when they're not in that, you know, immediate process, ready to sign the P&S or ready to make the offer. And so that's how it worked in the technology world. And all the CEOs that I speak to, so they know that they need to create content. They do some public speaking because that helps them, like PR sort of helps their company get known. It also helps them recruit, because if someone's looking for a job, they want to know, am I going to work for a company that's going to be here for a while? Yeah. And generally, unless you can see their P&L, you need to trust the leader that you're watching. Like, oh, that person has a vision. Oh, I trust them. It seems like they're building a great company. But without that, you don't know. You're just guessing. So to answer your question, yes, great for new folks in the industry. This is a fast track for getting a leg up in your area so you can stand out above the noise.
Yeah.
And if you're an existing organization or an existing leader, being able to embrace personal branding will allow you to connect with people so much quicker and actually help the rest of your team make sales, because you become the rainmaker. People come to you because they know, like, and trust you, and they know that what you guys do are going to add value to their lives. And that's where personal branding sort of, it transcends the industry and the stage of the industry that you're in.
It's, you know, one of the cool things, or one of the many cool things about the book is that, as you go through the A to Z of personal branding, each one is so key that, but I, you know, usually everyone just says the ABCs of X, Y, and Z. But the one part of it is D, and is design. And I think we talked a little bit about this in Tahoe, but design, because we're such visual, humans are just visual, you know, and consumers, especially now, everything is so visual that it is so important that when people are starting off, especially, and you're doing your branding, the design element piece of it, some people just kind of gloss over it and say, oh, this will work, or it gets me by, but it really, that visual has to meet what you're putting forth as an agent. It just has to. So for design, because I know Playster is great at, I love your guys' design. Playster, I've heard about for, you know, a long time, even though, you know, as an, I'm not an agent, so I don't really use it. But from the design element, how much, when you were doing your own personal branding, design, it's at the top of the list, right?
Well, I'd say the top of the list is that understanding what your focus is, because without that, you can design something that's great. You can go to Moo and get a great business card and you can build a great website. But unless you understand who you're talking to and what your value is in that conversation, the design piece can't really do its job. And once you figure that out, design can help you stand out. And some simple ways to think about it is if you are speaking to a market that speaks a certain language, and so that can be a physical language. So you're talking to a Spanish-speaking population, a Russian or a Chinese or an English population.
Yeah.
You would want to speak in the language that they spoke, right?
Yeah.
That would make it easier for them. Yeah. Now, design is the same way. So if we think about what's called responsive design, which I think everyone knows about now, but it's a website that switches format to the device that someone's using.
Yep.
That is just speaking the language of the consumer. So if I create a website, I want it as easily consumed on this as it is on the tablet, as it is on my laptop and my desktop.
Yeah.
And what makes it stand out is if you take the time to think about colors and font and content and readability, because you only have a couple seconds to grab my attention. Like, you get to a website and either it's starting to answer your questions or you just backspace, right? Go back to the search bar and search again. What we decided to do in creating the book is we invested heavily on design. So we hired this amazing designer. Her name is Jan Moskowitz. We designed every page. So traditionally in a business book, you design the cover. And maybe there's a couple of graphics. We designed an alphabet. So the A to Z is a custom alphabet for every letter. We also designed the layouts for each page. So when you look through it, it's like looking through an art book that's very simple and very easy to consume. And the reason we did that is the same reason that you'll discover in the book, is that to stand out today, you have to do things slightly different than what everyone else is doing. Because otherwise, you know, like, it looks the same. How do you know it's any better? And that's what we're trying to do with our businesses, with the interactions we have with our consumers, is we're trying to relay everything that we can do face-to-face. We're trying to do that digitally. And to do that digitally, you have to go the extra mile. You have to create content that you actually want to read. And I want to say that again. You have to create content that you actually want to read. Because most people, and I would imagine everyone listening to this, if I asked you to go read the content on your blog and would you refer it to your best friend, most people wouldn't raise their hand. And to do business today on the web, your content has to be the best that it can possibly be. It has to be better than your competitors, because otherwise, why would they consume it? That's the bar that's been raised, and that's where design comes in, which is doing the best design possible allows you to stand out in a crowded marketplace.
And I love other than, like, there's very few books that are just fun to read, and I'm not talking content, I'm just talking visually or fun. And it was great that both you and Brian, because Brian, his book, he wanted to make it like you were looking on a tablet, right?
Yes.
Like that is one of the most beautifully designed books ever. And then lo and behold, I see your stuff and I'm like, dude, it's great. It's so funny. And it's hard to, until you guys read the book, right? That you don't have an appreciation, and then you go and just read a normal book that's just words and maybe a few diagrams or whatever, but just seeing the visual, it really does make such a difference, because the content is great and that will continue to turn the pages, but having that visual too just makes all the difference.
Hey, most people don't read. And so the question is, it's not that you shouldn't create long form content, because the stats have shown in the last 2 years that long form articles drive more traffic and more social shares than anything else, more than any other like short sort of, snippet type blog post that you can do. Because what we do as humans is we scan something and we go, oh, this is definitive about this thing. Let me save it and let me share it. And then the challenge with books is, Kindle did a study, is that most people who download a Kindle, they read anywhere from 10 to 20% of the book and then they put it down. Mm-hmm. So the challenge as individuals, as salespeople, as marketers, as business people, is we've got to figure out how not only to grab the attention of our potential customers, how do we retain that attention and how do we get it over and over and over again, yeah, even if they're only consuming 10% of the thing that we do. So one of the reasons that, of course, I have a book, but I'm not going to stop blogging. I'm not going to stop speaking. Yeah. I'm not going to stop doing podcast and live video because it's not enough to have written the book.
Yeah.
I've got to continue the conversation.
Yeah.
And then the upside, like people may not see this, but the upside is I'm not selling websites on this, but we sell hundreds of thousands of websites because we built this thing where our mission is based upon education and about serving our customer, even when we're not trying to sell something.
Oh man, he's right on. You know, serving the industry, serving your customer, that is what it's all about. And that's why personal branding is so, so important. So I really hope you enjoyed that conversation with Seth Price. I've just loved listening to it again because he's such a good guy. And, you know, check out his content online and he really knows it. And again, The Road to Recognition, check it out. It's one of my favorite branding books by far. Cause it's an easy read, you know, and honestly, I don't like to read that much. I just don't. But it's an easy read. It's actually a really well-designed book. It's really well laid out. It's nice visuals and you can read it in a weekend, super simple, but check it out. If you're interested in personal branding and if you're in this industry, you should be, check it out. I highly recommend it. It's one of my favorite books. So we're winding down episode 20 here. I want to actually give you a sneak peek of episode 21 and not much of a sneak peek. I'm just going to tell you what it is. And that is actually a good friend of mine, Shannon Milligan. So what you're going to actually hear is a live podcast. So it's going to be recorded from me doing an interview with Shannon about business development. Now, if you don't know Shannon Milligan, she is an agent at EXP at RVA Home Team, and that's in Richmond, Virginia. And she's an icon agent. She was a top producer at Keller Williams. She knows her stuff, and she is a machine. And she does all the awesome videos. I'm sure you've seen her on Facebook Live. You may have seen her video being shared in multiple Facebook groups, and that's with her wearing the eye patch. And I've had the good fortune of being a good friends with Shannon. I talk to Shannon, you know, every day, and she's a really good friend of mine, and she's just awesome. So that is going to be episode 21. It's actually going to be a live presentation about business development and basically a talk about business development and how she treats her business. Because look, everyone likes the nice, you know, sexy, like, hey, let me do a podcast. Let me talk about branding. Let me talk about social media and running Facebook ads and stuff like that. The foundation of how she builds her business is what's important, is business planning, business development, how you grow your business as a single agent, And she's, like I said, icon agent 2 years in a row. And she is just awesome. So that's actually going to be a live interview in the Agent Marketer, but I'm actually making that into my next next podcast episode because I think you guys will get some very good information and content from Shannon about business planning and biz dev going into 2019. So that is episode 21. Hey, I want to thank you guys for joining us on episode 20 of the Agent Marketer podcast. And as always, I hope you guys have an awesome day.